The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Speaking of brothers, we have a fantastic guest in studio. If you are a longtime listener to the radio station, you might remember the program Rightly Dividing the Word. Heard here on the Mission was a weekend show and then a daily show for a number of years. And he was the former pastor at Twin Cities Grace Fellowship and then planted Northern California Grace Fellowship, visiting us from Sacramento. It's our good friend, Brother Ron Knight. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate you having me on, and it's bringing back memories. It's been a while. We've been gone from Minnesota for about almost 10 years now,
yep.
10 years in July, so... But it's always great to be back, and to I'm glad we can get into the studio with you today.
Well, I really appreciate it, because we were kind of talking about topics and things, and you know, when I look at we watch the news, we see what's happening out there. We really are living in perilous times on lots of different fronts. We can talk about it economically, racially, spiritually, all those things, and the importance of relying on God's word. And you know, when we see what's happening with Christianity and people who's put their faith in Christ, that some reports you read of the millennials and the young kids, you know, coming away, we don't have a grounding in in the Bible like we once used to, and you really experienced that in California.
Yeah, our governor out there, I'm sure everybody heard about him, Gavin Newsom.
Oh yeah,
there was a
Governor Moonbeam.
That's right, successful recall. You know, so that's going to go on the ballot. In the fall, he has a statement he likes to say, as California goes, so goes the rest of the country.
Yeah.
But that's not a good statement. That's not a good thing, because what we can tell you, being in California for those 10 years, it's a lot different than Minnesota. So even if as Minnesota, you know, gets more liberal and so forth, there's nothing like California. And so the spiritual darkness, the spiritual condition of that state is, man, it's Sodom and Gomorrah like. In a lot of ways.
Well,
and,
it seems like there's just the big disconnect. I mean, when we look at Hollywood, we look at the importance that people put on celebrities and not on God's word.
Exactly.
What do we expect?
Yeah, it's the Bible talks about the people of Israel before they had a king. Every man did what's right in his own eyes, it says in the Book of Judges. So it's that way out in California. Everything goes, and so we're trying to be that ray of light from God, of God's word, the gospel of grace of God out there. But it's tough sledding. It's been tough sledding. It's you're definitely on the front lines of that spiritual wickedness. And I tell people, when we come back to Minnesota, it's like a little break, you know, from that spiritual darkness out there, you know. So
yeah, well, Minneapolis and St. Paul is pretty close to,
I know,
probably where California is, but
we're here,
good chunks of Minnesota,
yeah,
still very, you know, Bible friendly and outgoing. I mean, not to say that there aren't churches here in the Twin Cities that are doing a great job, because there are, but
exactly.
It's one of those things why then the importance of relying on the gospel and relying on God's word for us in this perilous time is so important.
And California too. You mentioned Hollywood, you know, Los Angeles area, the city of angels, they call it. I call it the city of the fallen angels or the devil's angels.
Yeah.
They invite them there. You got the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland area, and obviously you have Sacramento, the seat of authority where we are. But a lot of the rural areas, like Minnesota, they are more conservative in their thought processes. They are they do care more about the things of God than the city, you know, in the
right.
Big cities and so forth. So, but we're fighting. We wanted to go to the We wanted to go to the capital, so that we can, you know, get some sunshine there, God's word, sunshine with an S-O-N. But it's tough, but you keep go on at it. So
yeah. You know, parts of California have a climate I really enjoy, but the state of the state is why I wouldn't consider moving there. And I see what's happening and up and down the coast. The homeless problem in California is tremendous.
Don't even get us started on that. Oh, boy. You know, my wife and I, we remember the first time we saw a quote-unquote homeless encampment 10 years ago. And it was shocking to see that, right? You really can't have much of that out here in the Twin Cities because of the weather and so forth, especially the winter weather. But even over the past 10 years, it's gotten worse and worse. And I don't want to be unkind, obviously, as a minister of the gospel, but a lot, just observing it firsthand. I mean, there are times we would go to our church building and there would be homeless camped out right in front of the door and had to move them.
Yep.
But these homeless aren't just regular homeless. You know, it's not housing prices and stuff like that. They were like bums and junkies. They would leave needles, drug needles and all this other stuff. In California, they don't do much to fight that. In fact, I think San Francisco and other places actually supply the drug needles.
Right.
The place to, you know, shoot up. And it's just gone down the drain. There's a lot of trash and different things. It's really sad to see.
Yeah, Pastor Ron Knight joining us here in studio from Northern California Grace Fellowship. So what is that? I mean, how does that impact? I mean, we talk about sharing the gospel as being something that can change somebody's heart and mind, but you know, certain people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Their hearts are hardened. Mm-hmm. But how do you have to minister to that, to help people? I mean, because part of us as being Christians is to help people.
Exactly.
Where our doors are open. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short.
Yeah.
But
it's tough because you do care about the soul of everyone, because God does. And you try to minister to them. Krista can tell you as well. There have been times we've had extra food and drink. You know, it's a hot summer day, and there'd be homeless guys around. You know, we'd go out there, share the food and drink, you know, minister to their physical needs, but also talk to them about the Lord. And every once in a while, this happens too, at every once in a while occasion, they'll just come up into the church, you know.
Yeah.
And if they come in peace, we're fine. Now, if they're on drugs, and we've had them come in on drugs and disrupt the place, so I had to put them out. But there are others that set through things. I remember one guy, he was I could tell he was on drugs, but he asked to come in. I said, yeah, you come listen to the gospel, right? I give the gospel. And he must have had a devil in him or something, because you could just see he was just writhing back and forth, and just as it was a spiritual battle going on.
Right.
And I'm telling him about the Lord Jesus and the power of salvation through the blood of Christ. And he had a physical reaction like The Exorcist or something. Yeah, it was scary, but also kind of intriguing at the same time. I don't worry about it because, you know, we had the Lord. But it is like that, you know. And so we do what we can, but we don't want to perpetuate the drug use.
Yeah.
Because being on those drugs, you open yourself up to the devil's influence, okay? Mm-hmm. And obviously, if they're not saved, they're easy prey for the devil. So it's a spiritual battle. I could feel the spiritual battle when we're dealing with them.
Yeah, it's that's, you know, churches and ministries, you know, around the country, around the world can face some of those same things.
Yes.
But the level of it in places like California, even the tourist areas, I think we were talking about the other day, but I was reading about Venice Beach that you almost can't, you can't really go and enjoy the beach at all anymore.
You know, the Pacific Ocean, Pacific Pacifier, right? It's a calming effect. God made it to have that. We took our daughter down to Venice Beach a few months ago just to see it. She's an artist, and it was known for its artistic side.
Yeah.
But we also wanted her to see how it was given up. So you have million-dollar homes right on the ocean, and there's a path, and then there's the sand, then there's the Pacific Ocean. Well, in order to look out into the ocean from your million-dollar home, all you see now in Venice Beach are tents where homeless, the bums, the junkies, the homeless, the druggies, and their dogs and all this stuff, they can camp out there, and they don't even move them out.
Hmm.
So if you got your $1 million house out there, you're thinking you're gonna enjoy that ocean. No, they're gonna enjoy the ocean.
Yeah, I saw a story.
And you got to walk. My daughter says she has to step over them. That's how bad it was.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a story with Paul Hogan, the Crocodile Dundee guy, who has a home there on Venice Beach. Mm. They had signs up saying, this is my house. And he said, I can't wait to sell this house and get out of here because it's not, you can't enjoy it.
It's happening a lot more out
there. And that's one of those things when we see what the Bible says about the end times, good being evil, evil being good, you know, things just taking that turn. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, we don't need to be discouraged because we have hope. We can be hopeful in the gospel.
Yes.
But it's breaks your heart at times to see that and to know that at times ministering to them with the gospel may or may not be effective. But I just, you know, I always look at that. That's planting that seed. Right. And
well, we are in these perilous times. And it's getting increasingly darker and darker. But the Apostle Paul mentioned that, right? He says, and he talks about in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And then he talks about in 2 Timothy, in the last days, he talks about these perilous times. And it's been pretty difficult lately because the coronavirus and everything with the shutdown, the lockdown, California's still locked down.
Yeah.
They don't care what the CDC says. No, they're just going to keep you locked down. It's such a striking difference between when we left California and we're going back this week compared to here in Minnesota. And it's a spiritual darkness, even in the politics and the politicians, they just want to keep everything dark, you know?
Yeah.
And, but we don't despair. When I say we believers in Christ. In fact, Kristen, I can tell you that the only thing that's keeping us going is the fact that we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and the Word of God working. Because if not, you can be in real despair in that. I think about Lot being right there in Sodom and Gomorrah. It has that ring to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Brother Ron Knight joining us from Northern California Grace Fellowship. And Brother Ron has been a guest on the program going way back, multiple hosts at times, and we do appreciate you. It's fun to see you, and glad you could come in studio. And you know, we used to talk about some of the racial issues. Remember this back after President Obama came in, because you know, from the south side of Chicago, you remember him walking the streets.
Community organizer, Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to. It's kind of funny, you know, just in the hood. You know, the guys in the hood, because he's actually mixed. You know, we're all mixed. His mother's white, his father's black. So we used to they called him White Boy, you know, just kind of because, you know, he's light. And, you know, he's really smart, really, you know, intelligent, all this stuff. But we remember him when he was just a community organizer back in on the south side there.
Yeah.
Kenwood area and the area that I grew up in, Inglewood. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I can remember saying, and I probably even said it to you when you were on, saying if Obama had kind of sticks to what he said and this transparency and you know, bridging gaps, and so to speak, could really go down as a great president. But that seemed to take a turn. And, you know, I'm curious again, it's been a little while since we've talked about this, but, you know, remember thinking about the racial issues at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you being a black man, experiencing this through these last 10 years, the Obama administration, Trump, and then Biden, you know.
Yes. Three different presidents.
Biden, I call him now.
Well, you know, I like you, was willing to give him a chance and see what happens. You know, obviously, being from Chicago, knowing him from Chicago. In fact, I told Krista one day we're driving around the Twin Cities, and this is back in 2007. We see somebody with an Obama sticker. It just says Obama.
Yeah.
2008. And I said, I know that guy. I said, he's a senator from Illinois, the junior senator from Illinois with Dick Durbin, the other one, in the U.S. Senate. And next thing you know, he's elected president. So it was intriguing. And obviously, being a black man, you know, everybody calls him the first African-American, the first black president. But really, I mean, you know, he's mixed. So that's how we see it.
Yeah.
But it was still intriguing to see a man of color in the highest office in the land.
I think it was great,
It was great. Yep. And that's originally how I started kicking it with the crackers, you know, Jeff and Lee. It was funny, you know, but and just to get that perspective. But as far as race relations, I think they got worse, not only under President Obama. You know, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm not political. It's definitely not publicly. You know, everybody has their own personal view. But back in California, when I put the announcements on the board, I always say pray, thanking the Lord for his grace. My first announcement, pray, thanking the Lord for his grace. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I put a C-A, not for California, but civil authorities. And so when Obama was president, I would tell the saints, pray for him.
Right.
When President Trump was president, pray for him. Now it's Biden, pray for him. Because ultimately, we want the Lord to guide them, even if they don't allow. He can do that. But as far as the race relations, I think they did get progressively worse, culminating, as you can see now, everything is, you know,
everything
black
has
this,
to do with,
white this,
yeah.
You know. And it does drive me crazy because being a grace believer, being in Christ, our ministry has blacks, we have whites, we have Hispanics, we have different Asians, even in the little, you know, Grace Church. So
like a lot of churches just about everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we're all created in God's image.
Exactly. So I personally don't like, and I think the Lord says, he says, we've made of all, you know, all of one blood, in Book of Acts, Paul says, right? He says in 2 Corinthians 5, not to look after the flesh. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. So when people make things racial, especially to divide, that's against the will of God. God wants us to unite in Christ. And see that if you're in Christ, then that's what you have in common beyond just your skin color and stuff like that.
Right.
But we're in perilous times, and I don't like the way this whole racial thing is going to in our country.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously there are issues and disparities. A lot of them socioeconomic. When in some instances, it doesn't revolve around race. There's disparities in education.
Yes.
You can look at Minnesota, which spends huge amounts of money of education, but we are behind when it comes to our inner city schools compared to other cities.
Oh, and same in California. Yeah. I mean, they spend billions on education, but their test scores, the children, their public school children are dead last in a lot of different things. Yeah. It's just going to waste.
So you have to acknowledge those. And, you know, I say, are there racist? Sure. I don't know any of them.
Yes.
But I've seen, you know, I know that happens. I mean, people, there are.
You got to look really hard. You got to look really hard.
Yeah.
And growing up in the hood, I've been stopped by the police just for driving while black. That's happened. I've been called N-word twice that I know of in Illinois on a golf course. And when Krista was pregnant with Jada Lynn, picking her up from her job in downtown Minneapolis, some guy. He was impatient. I was in his way waiting on my wife. He pulled out and shouted that out right out the window.
Yeah.
But I don't go around. I was just telling Krista, I don't, you know, I was, the Apple Valley police were behind me yesterday and I'm sure they run and stuff. You know, I'm driving her father's car. I didn't feel like if he was just going to pick on me and pull me over. He looked, he went right on by and went about his business. I'm not going to be afraid of anything. We know there are races, but I don't think it's systematic at all.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. When it comes to the opportunities and we look at what people have in this country, it's a reason why so many people are still, these illegals are coming to this country.
Yeah,
because we are land of the American dream, an opportunity, and I think in some instances a lot of people
are literally dying to get here.
Yeah.
Coming up from the southern border, you know, through treacherous, it's very treacherous making that trip up from Central America and so forth. That's they don't believe it's racist. They're brown people, but they want to get here, don't they?
Yeah.
So
and we have in this country, I think there's people who are born and raised here. We have this entitlement mentality to a degree. And it's sad for me to see. And I've said this for many times, that the one thing that can help heal this divide is us as Christians.
Right.
And, you know, Christian ministry and what people are doing to help the homeless, to help fight through racism, the socioeconomic barriers and all that stuff. But I just don't ever remember. I just don't see the systematic racism in this country. And it seems to me there's so many people that are pinning everything on this or trying to make race the issue right off the bat.
Exactly.
And we're not seeing each other as people and humans.
Well, the beautiful thing about the gospel of grace of God, you know, Lee, that in Christ, you know, Paul says in Ephesians 2, he talks about the difference between those uncircumcised Gentiles and then the circumcised Jews, and how God has, through the cross of Christ, he's brought both of those together. There was enmity there, right?
Yep.
And through Christ, through what he accomplished, he brought all those enemies, the Jews and Gentiles together, and the body of Christ was made up particularly in the beginning of Jews and Gentiles in one body by the cross. And that's the answer. God doesn't want us seeing things as far as racial things. We know there's differences. You know, I joke with some of my brothers in the Lord who are white back in California. We couldn't be different. They're from San Francisco or Modesto. I grew up in the hood in Chicago. But you know what we have in common? A love for the Lord and his word. And one thing about systematic racism, I'm from Chicago. It's been run by one party my whole life and before, the dailies and all this. But recently, a lot of these cities are run by blacks, black mayors. Look at all.
Baltimore, Chicago,
D.C., black mayors, black police, chiefs, all this stuff. So if it's systematic, they have the power to change it. Why isn't it changing? So I think it's more just political stuff, and they just want to have this divide, to keep. Yeah, it's frustrating to talk about because my heart, I do have a heart for the South Side of Chicago where I grew up. And every day I see hundreds of shootings each weekend. Every Monday you look and I say, nobody talks about that, Lee. On black crime, young black men from my hood shooting up each other. Nobody talks about it.
Well, you talk about, you mentioned this before, had you not heard the race message, basically in your neighborhood, you end up, three different ways.
Yeah.
It's either a prison or dead
or in jail.
Or the gospel.
That's it. That's what saved me. And that's why I thank God. I can tell a boy from the hood who didn't have his biological father growing up. I still deal with that. You know the story.
Yeah.
And God, thankfully, by the grace of God, I was able, after being apart from my father for over 30 years, for the past 10 years, we've reunited. But what got me out of the hood was trusting the Lord Jesus. And it put me on a path to ministry, and then the rest is history.
Yeah.
And I can tell any young boy in the hood, you don't have to go into gangs and drugs and all that. Well, I don't have my father. Well, I didn't either. Let's do this together, right? Yeah.
Sports is another way. I mean, you played ball.
Yep,
you
played baseball.
You were a pretty good ball player.
Well, I don't know about that. Thank you, Lee. My mother, Deidre, she's listening back in California. Hi, Mama. She always say, she didn't want me to play football, right? Because, mothers, they don't want to see their boys get pounded. But her brothers, my uncles would say, no, he's a boy. We got to teach him how to be a man. He going to play football. I love playing football. But baseball was my thing.
Baseball was your game.
You get injured a lot less in baseball. And I could hit a fastball. I got a brother, Paul. He's listening. Paul, he was a good pitcher. He could throw in the 80s, high 80s. And I'm going to challenge him one day to a strikeout contest.
That'd be fun.
He told me he could strike me out a couple of days ago. So we'll see.
We shall see.
We'll see.
Pastor Ron Knight joining us, Northern California Grace Fellowship. I used to be here in the Twin Cities, at Twin Cities Grace Fellowship, and then host of Rightly Dividing the Word radio program that was here for a number of years. And appreciate you coming in and sharing.
Thank you, Lee.
To see you. We've kind of covered a number of things on the program.
I know. That was fast.
Some of those things that we see and we talk about race and the gap we have with the income and all this stuff, and they want to divide us economically, socioeconomically, racially, politically. But the one thing that can change things is the gospel. We see these things, we talk about those, we hear those stories, but we should have hope because the gospel and Christ tells us to.
Exactly right, Lee. I always tell Krista, growing up without my father, I still to this day deal with that in my soul. God never intended for these young men, especially, but young women too. They end up being promiscuous, looking for love. But especially the young men, I'm going to talk about where I grew up. The black family, particularly in the 60s, the fathers were in the home.
Mm-hmm.
They were raising their sons and daughters. What happened was once welfare became a big thing, in the late 60s, early 70s, and in order to get it, you couldn't have the man in the home. Things went downhill really fast, and you get the anger in these young men, and they're looking for male leadership, and they find it in the drug dealers or the gang leaders, and that's what happened. If fatherhood, I have a daughter, 12 years old, and at first I was afraid to not only be a father, because I was like, well, I didn't have my father. How am I going to do this? But it was the Lord. I learned from the Lord. I definitely didn't want a boy because I really didn't know how to. What am I going to do with a little boy? I got a beautiful little girl, little Jada Lynn. She's right here. But fatherhood, if we incentivize fatherhood, if we promote fatherhood, that's what's missing, particularly in the Black community.
Yeah.
Fatherhood. The girls wouldn't be looking for love at 16, having more babies and having more welfare. And the boys wouldn't be so angry and don't care about dying or killing someone. I've seen it. It's a vicious cycle, Lee. And I did ask God. I said, please let me break that cycle. Let me be a godly father to my girl. And she told me the other day, she says, I think you're the best father. I said, thank you, honey. So praise the Lord. You know, but my mother, Deidre, I give her all the credit in the world, you know, being a single mother. And it's very hard, but she did the best she can. She took great care of me. But she can't be a man. She cannot. Women can't teach men how to be.
Oh, and that's the
boys
way God,
man.
The God, you
exactly.
know, God has it to be. And when I think about this too, some of the cultural, there's, I mean, for me, it's always, we can, whenever I fill out forms and they ask me, you know, about race, whatever, I check other and write American.
Good.
Because, you know, that's what it is. We can celebrate our Norwegian, African, our Irish, German, Polish, whatever your background is. You can celebrate that.
Yeah.
But that was what this country was. We were the great melting pot. We came together as Americans.
With the same ideals, but from different places.
Yeah. But we were all here for the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, the American dream. And I think the American dream has been lost a little bit on many. But when I look at some of the cultural things and you look at what the influence, and I think of when I hear the, you know, the, what's the Grand Theft Auto, the game that's so violent, the video game,
or the
words and lyrics of a lot of the rap and hip hop music and the lifestyle it glorifies. I mean, that wasn't all of that, the drugs and that stuff and the gangs came out, you know, like in the 70s and 80s. That wasn't part of Black history and cultural.
Right. After the breakdown of the Black family, particularly fathers leaving, that became, they never glorified that back in the past, but these young guys, I mean, they didn't have a way to really make a living, and the drugs come in, and they say, well, I can make quick, easy money being a drug dealer, you know, or selling drugs.
Yeah.
And but that lifestyle comes at a cost because there's territory. I mean, if I'm actually afraid. I'm not afraid of a lot of things, but I'm actually afraid to go back to my neighborhood in Chicago and Inglewood. It has the highest murder rate. But the drug dealers just hang out on the street corners, you know, and they're watching out for who's checking, you know, who's trying to look at their turf. And they don't have any problem just shooting at you, okay, because it happens every weekend. There's tens of folks who are shot. They said in Chicago, the reason there aren't more deaths from shootings is because the surgeons, the hospital surgeons, trauma surgeons, have gotten so good at what they do because they get so many gunshot wound patients. Wow. Isn't that crazy?
It's tragic.
Yeah. And so I don't even like taking my family back to the hood. I'd love to go back there, but it's not safe. It's not safe.
And that's just it. I mean, and then how do you do effective ministry?
You can't
through that.
You can't. You know, my heart, I always think about a way to go back there and my heart's there. But it's too gone. You know what, Lee? The fathers have to get back and tame their sons.
Mm-hmm.
The fathers are the ones who can tame their little boys because boys want to please their father, right? But if you don't have a father there, so it's really hard to minister in that area. Yeah.
Yeah, and that you know, and that goes across all racial lines. That's just it. I mean, that's the whole point you're making. It's about families and fathers, and we've seen this also in the breakdown of just the family in general.
And we look at
people, you know, as who have pushed God out of the picture.
Yep.
That's what we see, a breakdown of the family. The
and
divorce
you
see, is
yep,
just,
you've seen it.
Yeah, if you like it, doesn't work, do what you want.
Yeah.
Like you were mentioning earlier, it's just kind of whatever feels good, you do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's at times when I think we're making headway and I can drive on a Sunday and you see these churches with people in the pews and the parking lot's full. Well, not quite full yet
right,
the last year, but you know what I mean? that there's great opportunity. I think there is people seeking and searching, but the key is getting them plugged in a real solid grace believing church.
And that's the key. That's the key. It's getting the word of God's grace into you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a member of the body. It's not too many of us. It's fewer and fewer of us, right? Especially out in California. So you get it into you, and then you get it out to others. And shows like yours, Lee, on a daily basis, as you constantly remind folks the importance of the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ's work on the cross, and the importance of the word of God. And my job over the past nearly 25 years, that's why I'm going to do this Bible audio commentary. Folks been asking me to do an actual Bible commentary, written one, but I'm not a writer. I expound on the word much easier. But that's my thing. I want to make sure I can help get the word of God in folks. That's what changes lives, because then you get it into you, it affects your family, and then it affects, you know, those around you. So,
and that's
it,
a powerful
thing. It's all the word of God. It starts with the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with media now the way it is, mm-hmm. video and audio, the podcasts and all that things, it makes putting together the content easy, and it's something that can be accessible by so many people. Because nowadays,
my daughter knows all that stuff.
Everybody has a smartphone now.
Everybody. And she, you know, you got the TikToks, the Instagram, all this stuff. Our little children, you know, our youngsters know. And my daughter will say, hey, Dad, she'll send me a text, the text of a TikTok. She'll say, is this person telling the truth about this? You know, because get some young guys trying to talk about the word. And it's good because she's discerning. I can't protect her from everything, right? She's going to be exposed because of the internet, but it's good that I got a little girl who says, Dad, is this true? And we'll get into some wonderful discussions about the word of God.
Yeah. And that's really what we need to do. We need to do that with, you know, the people we come across. Are you equipped to have that conversation?
Exactly.
Are you equipped to know? And again, I don't consider myself a Bible scholar, but I always thought for a while that, I'm afraid to speak up because I don't know enough. And I could probably study the Bible for 100 years and still feel I didn't know enough.
Lee, I've been studying and teaching God's word for nearly 25 years now, from 96 to now. And the moment you say, I think I got it down pat, no, that's the wrong way. You always have to be a student of the word first. And I can attest in our conversations over the years, you know an awful lot about the word of God's grace. You definitely do.
Well, I can't always give you the verse a reference. Yeah. But I know the I can paraphrase the verses enough and know enough, you know, but and that's part of it. That's a relationship when you're sharing the gospel.
It's
real that
it
you
is.
Don't have to be somebody that can quote every single verse in the Bible. It's a gift some people have you.
Yeah, that's my
your gift.
Yeah, I can remember anything that I'm interested in. I can remember what I read, and what's better than reading and studying God's word? Remember, you know. My mother tells the story. I'm a little boy, 3 years old. She'd teach me some little book, and then she purposely,
mix up the words. Yeah.
And I say, no, Mama, that's not it. You got to get it. Well, I'm still that way when I hear people talk. But I can remember, and so that's my gift. We do the Q&As back in California, and they'll say, what's that verse, Ron? And I'm bam, right there. You know, I got like a Rolodex. That's for my daughter. That's like a thing
used to store it for them.
Yeah.
That's
you don't need a Rolodex
list on paper.
but you know what? I was blessed to be to have that gift from God ability, and now I can use it to bless others with it, with the word of God.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad you're out here with family and visiting. You're actually teaching this weekend or doing a Q&A.
Well, I did. Yeah. This past Sunday at Grace Church of Lakeville. And I have that information because I know some folks, we have our Twin Cities up north. And it's a new church plant. And anybody wants to get in touch with the pastor there, that's Pastor Jim Bean, not Bean, the drink, B-E-A-N, Jim Bean. And his number is 651-302-5088, 651-302-5088. And if you're in Lakeville or Apple Valley or Rosemont, that area, Farmington, and you're looking for a place that loves the word of God and preaches a clear gospel, of Christ, check him out. Give him a call. He'll be happy to hear from you.
Jim's an awesome teacher.
Yes.
I've watched him preach a number of times.
Right, up at Twin Cities.
He's a great, great brother up at Twin Cities Grace Fellowship, and love his family, too.
Yes, Keisha and the children. All right.
So we miss seeing him, but I was so happy with the fellowship that's happening
there. Doing the
work
of the ministry. That's right. That's why we have it. You know, we build the guys up and then spread it on out. That's how it's done. So praise the Lord.
Took you to California, too, share the gospel there. And it's just, you know, that's what's encouraging at a time like this. And it doesn't matter the size of the congregation. It's all about that relationship, the family, and sound Bible teaching.
God has always had a remnant. There's always a small remnant. I mean, even the best preacher ever, the Lord Jesus Christ, had a little flock, he calls them in the book of Luke. The Apostle Paul, he says he's the greatest human preacher of the gospel, obviously, as Christ's apostle to the Gentiles. And he, at the end of his life, he says, all they which be in Asia have turned away from me. So, you know, it's a calling, but it's frustrating at times. But the Lord rewards your faithful service. You know, you're not in charge of getting people saved. You're just a messenger. That's the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the person. They have to make that choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just want to have a clear gospel about how Christ shed his blood for your sins and trusting him and him alone. By faith and faith alone, no works of your own, God will give you that everlasting life as a free gift.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, where churches where the pastor gives a clear gospel at every message, the impact that has, and it really comes back because that's how I got saved.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You know, people know the show, know my story, where I followed a girl to church and heard the gospel, and then
that's right.
Now we've been married 23 years or so.
I know that girl. Wonderful, wonderful girl. Wonderful, beautiful woman, Ashton.
And so for all of us, you know, we should be encouraged.
Yes.
You know, through everything we've talked about today and everything we know, and I always want to come back to the positive that we can be optimistic. You can be,
amen.
You know, you turn on the news and it's easy to get down. And there's times it's what we do all day.
I know it has to be hard for you.
And there's times you just have to kind of unplug and pray about it because that's what is important. It's that relationship that we have personally.
Amen.
But then sharing that relationship. And sometimes that's an example. Sometimes it's doing something nice. Sometimes it's just a conversation. It doesn't mean you just have to give the gospel to somebody every time you see them.
Exactly.
Because it's part of that is that relationship you build, that trust, and then
a rapport. A rapport with the folks. You know, you mentioned prayer. Listen, we do live in perilous times, and Paul understood that. And in Philippians, he says, be careful for nothing, because we live in perilous times. I mean, there's a lot of concern and care and worry. But when you get there, that's where as the grace believer, you get to go to God the Father. I've mentioned in fathers. Well, who's a greater father than God the Father? And he's there to hear our prayers and to take our supplications and requests with thanksgiving. And Paul said he promises that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4. And so in the end, no matter what happens, we grace believers in Christ, we have the Lord, we have the Spirit of God, we have God the Father, we have God's almighty power and mercy on our side.
Yeah, and that's you know, so be encouraged.
Amen.
Through all that, because you know, like you said, you hear us talk about what's happening in California or New York or here in the Twin Cities. We've experienced it, of course, coming up on the anniversary of George Floyd's death, you know, there'll be a lot there, but that's where churches
happened
and ministries.
In May, right? This
I think it was Memorial Day weekend.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Memorial Day or the day before.
That thing went around not only the country, the world. They were holding stuff in Sacramento about this. That was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really did. There were protests, and we've seen what's happened since then. And again, that was kind of where I hope that again goes back to the conversation on race and the cultural differences. But we can really, as Christians, have a great opportunity to listen. And
amen.
to speak God's truth with a capital T, because I think that's what's missing is truth is
the truth.
Now has a small T in lots of areas, but God's truth with a capital T is the most important truth.
Pontius Pilate, Paul says the Lord Jesus, he had a good confession before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius says, what is truth? And Paul says, the truth is in Jesus, and the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Yeah, George Floyd was the 25th, so tomorrow is the year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
I think that was Memorial Day weekend
last year.
Yeah, I think it was at that time.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
tomorrow.
You're getting out of Dodge just in time.
We have family who was worried, who was close to this stuff. Oh, boy.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Would you close us in prayer?
Yes, thank you, Lee, for the opportunity. It's always refreshing coming back to the Twin Cities. My wife's family from here, my daughter was born here. I spent 7 years here in ministry, and we have wonderful saints and friends and family. But it all starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I wanted to do when we got here was to start a grace ministry to teach people about the grace of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time, this afternoon. Thank you for Brother Lee for allowing and his company here to allow us on the airwaves to talk about your son. No greater thing to speak about than the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for this time together. We pray that what we spoke about today would hit hearts and minds of the listeners, and that it would bring them closer to you, Lord, that it would bear burdens but free folks up from spiritual darkness and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So we thank you, Father, for this time, and I thank you for Brother Lee for coming to share what's going on in our life, but most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's doing. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much for coming in, bringing the family. It's great to see you. Safe travels. And again, people can see your Q&A. They go to Northern Grace, California. You're on Facebook Live, things like that.
Yes, NCGF Questions. That's our Facebook,
yeah.
NCGF Questions.
Yes, indeed. Well, blessings to you.
Thank you,
my friend.
You too. Love you, bro.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
That'll wrap up this edition of Crosswalk Podcast. It'll be up shortly. If you missed it, you can go back and catch any of it. Thanks, TK. Great job.
Thanks, Lee. Good to be here with you.
It's always fun to have you part of the show. We'll do it again soon. Yeah. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.